Welcome back. It's Brian Hutchison, aka the Global Career Guy, with another, I think, exciting episode of Behind the Science of Career Development podcast, the podcast of the Asia Pacific Career Development Journal. If you're a first-time listener, this is, I think, an opportunity to have interesting and informal conversations with leaders, scholars, and pioneers in the field of career development so that we can more fully understand the global impact of what we do and learn from the global examples that are shared in a medium like this. I'm super excited today to have Raza Abbas from the country of Pakistan, a longstanding member of the Asia Pacific Career Development Association. How are you today, Raza?
Hello, Dr. Brian. Thank you for inviting me. I'm doing well. And you?
Doing pretty good. I always feel a little bit extra pep in my step on days when I get to record an interview with a close colleague and friend. So I'm feeling great today. I'd like to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself to the audience that may not know you as you choose to introduce yourself.
Sure. Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Raza Abbas, and I was fortunate to initiate various career reforms in Pakistan for the last 15 years. My practice involves parental career guidance. I do teacher training. I impart training to career counselors, to teachers, and to the civil society at large from grades 8 to 12. And then I do career coaching for students from the ages of grade 8 all the way to post-retirement. And I also help with entrepreneurship. And last but not the least, I'm fortunate to work with Dr. Anthony Scioli in authority on hope, on how to be more optimistic in your life.
Wow. If we can, I'd like to spend a little bit more time and I'll maybe coach you through your background and your biography. I've always looked at you as a practitioner, a pioneer, and a leader in the career development field. So maybe like we'll take one of those at a time. And so I started my career as well working with high school students. What is it about your personal background that led that to be the primary outlet of your career development practice in Pakistan?
Well, I was fortunate to study in the US. I went to the University of Arizona, and there I did volunteer work at the Career Services Department. And I was very passionate about careers and career counseling and career development. So when I came back home after I graduated with dual degrees, I said, no, why don't we have career counseling as a reform in this country? We have so many young people in Pakistan. 60% people are young right now, as per UNESCO and UN's various reports, but there's no direction. We have so much of talent people. If someone can come up with an idea of how to navigate this process of change and how to use their interests and their abilities and knowledge. So then I asked my career counselor in the US, like, you know, I have no idea about career counseling, but I want to learn about this. So, okay, interesting. And I said, you know, which are the leading global platforms of career development? I want to go and present there. They said, well, I really appreciate your ambitious goals, but you know, it's extremely challenging. I said, just share me the link and I will definitely apply. So I started off with a very humble beginning. I started off presenting at IAVG in 2010 in Cape Town. That's how I started into this global arena. I went to various international conferences, IAVG, APCDA, NCDA, ARACD, Kinexus, ICC, DPP. And that's where I learned how does it happen in the real sense. Because here I was a social entrepreneur. I had no clue, but I had a very strong passion. So then I started off with a humble beginning. I started off with an NGO and I developed a system of an educational system of 4,000 students. Then I went to various schools, colleges, universities, foundations. I trained teachers on how, I said, you know, one of the things that people say, oh, this is good, but we need more people who can actually initiate this process. So I said, okay, let's develop a holistic program of 40 hours based on evidence, based on what are the gaps of students that employers say, that parents say, that educators say, that, you know, when they graduate, we wish they could have imparted this. We wish, so no more wishful thinking, let's do pragmatic thinking. So I did all that research and I did that groundwork. And I was very humbled to share that as an evidence-based paper at the UNESCO's inaugural conference in Poland in 2014. And that's how I started implementing this at different educational institutions. And there was a lot of need by teachers. And one of the challenges that I faced, that teachers, as you know, in educational systems, in schools, their primary objective is syllabus, is to complete, is prepare students for exams. I said, you know, I respect that. And I don't want to like overtake this primary objective. So let's not have the core objective of training just teachers, but also the civil society, counselors, anyone who wants to impart social change. So having a much more holistic impact. So that was really important, and that really made an impact. And then what we did was that during the semester, it was difficult to impart the training. So we did it during summer holidays. We were flexible in our approach. We did it in the winter holidays, and that people really liked. The other thing that I noticed that, you know, a lot of people said that, you know, parents are the chief justice of careers in Pakistan. They are the influencers, unlike the West, where, you know, once you are 18, you are an adult, you are supposed to make decisions. But in our part of the culture, where parents, even after you get married, parents play an important role as part of the society. So then I say, you know, why not have another program on having a dialogue, an enlightened dialogue? And that enlightened dialogue is to have a how do they help students with how do they help their son and daughters with their career planning? What are the gaps? And then I facilitate what are the traditional careers and what are the futuristic careers? And that gives a lot of insights.
Wow. And there's so much I love about your journey, Raza. So first of all, evidence-based, trying to pull from the existing evidence about what works with career planning, but then the adaptation piece, right? Because we know in many countries, much of the evidence or much of the processes that we've defined have come from a Western perspective. And there's a little bit of sort of like wiggling in and finding the right fit for the local cultural context as well. And it sounds like you've worked really hard to do that. When you're doing this process, as you're going through the process of selecting the program, adapting the program to the context, and then sort of fine-tuning it, what are some of your personal guiding principles? Like, what are some of the value systems or the philosophical approaches that guide you personally as the leader of this initiative?
I think what I do is I make it more practice-based, more activity-based learning. So there's very less theory, but I do share that, you know, where am I drawing all these experiences from? Who are the international experts that have this content from, giving them that source of credibility? That, you know, I am not the inventor of this knowledge. I am drawing upon these gurus and then contextualizing it to our need. And I think it's very important that, you know, you are able to have very fluid thinking in your practice of not just taking any piece and just giving it per se, but having a dialogue, having a needs and assessment with each educational institution, that what are your priorities, and consistently adapting. I mean, it's not that, you know, I made this program and now this is like up and running. In each training that I impart, I have a first detailed analysis with the principal, with the class teachers, with the academic coordinators, that what do you want in your students? What are the gaps? And then we will customize that accordingly in our training.
Yeah. I really want to know, I've always assumed that you are the pioneer in Pakistan. Was there career development practice in your country before you started your initiatives in 2010?
There were various projects of career development. And it was more like, you know, like various international organizations like the World Bank and different organizations, they did some career work, but it was not a concrete and not a long-term career initiatives. So one of the things that, you know, people will usually do is they will call a leading scholar, a reading practitioner as a career day, you know, so more like a career seminar. And that was how career work was done. Interestingly, you know, a lot of career counseling work was often confused into higher education counseling. So, you know, like when I initially started this work, a lot of school people said, are you representing a university? And I said, no, I'm not representing a university. I am here for career direction. So, that's interesting, because they weren't used to this. They were used to different universities coming and sharing, oh, why don't you go in abroad and pursue your bachelor's or master's or PhD? And more like an educational consultant. So, but this type of work of finding passion, finding meaning, finding direction, that was not done.
Yeah. Wow. That initial context and the context that you're working in today, we know that countries have different pathways that are sort of already developed to finding work. Some of the neighboring countries near you have very rigid systems of education and assessment to put you into tiers of education or even specific majors of education. What did it look like on the ground when you started? And if at all, has that changed through your work for a typical high school student in Pakistan?
I think the entry point when you often and you do consulting, you say, what is the entry point? So the entry point, when is the first time a child makes a decision about careers? That is when he or she is in grade 8. And that still is the same status quo, whether to go go for high school in science or general or arts or humanities. So that was the time of seed plantation per se. So I said, mm-hmm. Let's impart the seed of career education at this novice age of 12 years. That mm-hmm. is the time if we can do the right advising, the right counseling in 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, their 37 years of careers. Now, when I say 37 years, there's a calculation behind that because those years will be your fulfillment. The average age in Pakistan is 60 years of retirement. I mean, mm-hmm. you can work forever as long as you're... as long as you're healthy, but usually the average age is 60. And the average age, as you know, people graduate with a college degree at the age of 22. Right. So 22 minus 60 is 38. So if we can work on 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 and do really good work, those 38 years will be great. So that was my vision behind it.
Yeah. And I love that developmental framework, right? Because it's evidence-based, it's supported by the research around early career decision, but it really is speaking to the audience about what not only the impact on the individual is, but what the social impact is of the interventions that you're doing. I love it. So the main reason that I wanted you to bring on today, and this is a little bit of a pivot, I think, to the leadership part of you, but you've really internationalized or globalized your impact as a career professional. And one of the key things that I hear you talk the most about that I would like to learn about today are the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. Could you start us off by just describing what those goals are before we dig into why they were appealing to you and then how they apply to career development?
Sure. Well, I will just to make sure that we take the most of this time. As you all know, the United Nations has Sustainable Development Goals. And then just as a brain teaser, how many goals are there? I'll pause for a second to see how informed is the audience. So there are 17 Sustainable Development Goals, 17, and they are some very very important and meaningful goals. And I've read them, and I read them, and it's right in front of my room. Where it goes in my subconscious that this is something. This is your compass where to impact social change. When I go to these conferences, one of the things I really miss, Brian, is the international conferences. And you meet all these great people, you get all this positive aura and energy. And I say, we have all these international days. The UN has International Teachers Day, Women's Day, Labor Day. So I was just wondering, we do so much work. Our work is so ingrained in SDGs. I'm wondering, why don't we have an International UN Day on Career Development? So that's when I started talking with different scholars, different friends, colleagues, Dr. Roberta from Canada, Ms. Tracy from Canada, and our different colleagues, yourself. And I said, we as a careers community, we are doing some great work, but interestingly, we are very, very quiet. So let's, in this pandemic, I always like to come up with different and creative ideas. I said, one fine day I was having a chat with my 11-year-old son. He's my wisdom advisor. So he said, Dad, why don't you have a YouTube channel? I said, that's a great idea. So I just started in a span of few days. The network that I have really blessed to have over these last 10 years, why don't I start having these career conversations and let's talk about a UN Livelihood Day, Career Development Livelihood Day. And one of the key things in your interview as well, Dr. Brian, you said this is a great idea. We should have a strategy. And one of the things to have this goal empowered is to develop a communities of practice. And as you know, the people that work in knowledge management is that like communities of practice are like-minded people that are passionate about its certain topic of interest that ignites them, right? So then we developed a very like-minded group through the NCDA Global Connections Committee. And one of the things that we are doing right now is that there are various states of the UN, and we have a blog that Professor Danita has developed. And there are various days that you can write an article on, right? Mm-hmm. And this is a various nice way that you can link various various UN days with career development and optimize career development and also increase visibility amongst the UN stakeholders. So I'll just pause here for a second. It was a lot of information, but my passion when I just go into this, I just get really involved into it. So I just believe that, at each professional, each career community member, whether you are a scholar, whether you are a practitioner, whether you're a teacher, educator, you can link each UN day with your practice, with your research, and hopefully we will have a day when this actually is mandated through the UN.
And I must admit, like, you're the first person that sort of got me attuned to this idea. And now when I look around the field, I really see and personally experience where this traction with the UN sustainability goals and the days happen. As an example, I think you might know JP Michel, who owns SparkPath in Canada, and using his challenge cards to help students orient their career exploration around the contribution they want to make to the broader world that can almost be aligned with the UN sustainability goals, right? Ending poverty, helping solve climate change problems, so on and so forth. That last one is the one that's really captured me. I've had many interactions with a career practitioner in Canada. His name's Trevor Lehman, who runs climate grief groups with climate scientists to talk about the impact of working in the field of climate change where things are not going well, where so much of the mental health aspect of career is weighing them down, and how to navigate that all of the aspects of choosing to contribute your career to working on that particular problem of the world. And so I know my narrow thinking was first challenged by a conversation with you. And as I was able to open up my blinders and be open to more and more information, more and more ideas, now it's like one of those things where I see absolutely everywhere. Everywhere I look, I think about you, Raza. So when you sit down with these ideas from using the UN and the structure of the UN to do career work, where does that conversation, or how does that process of integrating that into your career practice, what does that look like when you first sit down with someone, or when you first start a consultation with a school or an organization in your practice?
Okay, thank you for sharing that. I'll just mention some specific goals that I can connect with my practice, and as an example to how to connect the dots. So goal number 4, quality education. Goal number 8, decent work and economic growth. Goal number 10, reduce inequalities. And then number peace and justice. So these are the 4 goals that I can directly relate to in my practice that I have contributed. I was working on career development at a time when there was a lot of turmoil in our region. And career guidance was a very strong advocate for peace, for global harmony. And I was very fortunate to be selected in the UN Global Peace Building meeting at the UN headquarters. So the point what I'm trying to say is that these 4 different goals, every career practitioner, every career development profession will have different goals. So I'm sharing the goals that were very close to my heart and that really impacted my practice. When I am going to different educational institutions, different representatives, I share the goals that I have contributed in my humble way. However, that does not mean that the other goals are not applicable. And that leads to a conversation and that leads to a new context. And one of the things I would like to share that, you know, an International Career Day is something, it's a very ambitious goal, but there are various small baby steps that we can do. In emerging regions, we can start with a career association. Mm-hmm. If you don't, in the US, in other Western countries, associations are very common. But in the emerging countries, what is the first entry point that we can do to optimize practice? Have a career guidance association, A. B, we can start up with this very small event, which has a lot of media influence. And I often say, you know, media has a big impact. In our country, you will be amazed, Brian, we have 100 private channels. That's huge in a country in South Asia. So I always say, you know, make media a strong collaborator in your practice. And the more visibility you will have, the more it will be. And then every country has a UN office, right? Just have a courtesy meeting. Then, you know, I will just like to share what we are doing and everyone, and just share and link your practice with the specific goals that you have worked on. And just say, I want 15 minutes of your time, just like a TED talk. Yeah. And 15 minutes, everyone, if you do it in a civil and respectful manner, people will give you 15 minutes. That is the entry point.
Yeah, and I think what I want to pull out of that is for the practitioner, you know, in the United States, I think you might've been to them, like we have these buffets, right? Where you can go in and there's like 55 different foods to choose from. And so we have these 17 goals, but I love the illustration of how you chose the four that were both meaningful to you, but more importantly, I think impactful to the community that you were serving, right? At the regional level, the local level, or the national level, and how having this overarching, positive, holistic, good for all framework from which you can select both what's important to you, but also best serves the community that you practice in, I just think has some phenomenal potential to orient us globally as a profession, but also give us real tools locally. And I think that's where an intervention like the challenge card from JP Michelle sort of give us a tool that specifically can orient us to that type of thing. And there are other tools, of course, as well. But it also can empower us to plug in, I don't know, to a guidance or a meaning structure as career practitioners. Because I think I was just emailing with Jim Bright and thinking a lot about chaos theory of careers recently. The unsettledness of the current world of work, which has been magnified by the pandemic, I think has career practitioners and clients both looking for something to tether ourselves to, something that's a compass point to give us a direction. Have you worked with career practitioners around the 17 goals, around this idea of helping them plug in to their practice?
Yes, I have. Yeah. I have. I did that a few years ago. As I mentioned that, you know, my practice is not just limited to teachers, but to the civil society as well. And the way it works is that, you know, we have some career development centers. Through the USAID was very generous to develop some career development centers in Pakistan several years ago. So each career development center has career staff, right? Mm-hmm. So that is the entry point of working with those people. When I used to work at a university, at a private university, I was very involved with various placement people, career counselors at the university, and career management heads. So that's when I provided them with career advising that are in line with UN Sustainable Development Goals. And that was much more higher acceptance, because when you are at a university, your exposure of career development is much, much bigger and much, much larger. And having that initial international development intervention, they were not like totally aloof to the concept. So it was just like building upon something that was done from step one to step two, and basically taking it to the next level.
Excellent. Before I sort of start to transition us towards a wrap up here, is there anything that I didn't ask the right question about that's sort of pressing and important for people to understand you, your work, or how to implement the UN Sustainable Development Goals?
Before I go into more detail, one of the things that I really enjoy about you whenever we have these discussions, I think as a careers professional, we need to learn the art of communication. And I think, Brian, you do a really good job in summarizing. And the more crystal clear we will be, the message will be optimized, will be impacted. So we need to learn, and I have this in my course, the art of communication. And I was very fortunate to have my second degree and studying 4 years of communication. A lot of many people are not aware of that. But I think that really helped me in articulating my message to people, not just in Pakistan, but globally. So your questions that you asked were very inclusive and very holistic. So I will just, and regarding the UN, I will just mention, pick the goals that are very close to your heart. A, show impact, show numbers, exactly how each goal that you imparted in your practice, in your research, what was the impact? What was the target audience? And what was the feedback? And develop an annual report. Or not even an annual report, develop a report on the art of branding, the art of communications, and just write to all the international development organizations that what have you done? How have you connected the dots in your own humble way? And that's no rocket science, right? People can do right. that. So I'm not saying that you do all those 17 goals. Oh my God, 17 goals, that's so many goals. So just pick two or three, maximum right. four, and say that this is the time of duration. I did this work. This was the impact. This was the feedback. Show some pictures. So that actually shows that you actually did it instead of inventing them. So I think you have to be authentic.
And not that this is the intended result, but I just wanted to make sure it didn't get lost that you were, because of this work, invited to the UN and have spoken at the UN and have been very involved with this for over a decade now. I do want to wrap up by sharing how people can stay connected to you, but I think it would be also good to identify other people in the field that are also working specifically with UN Sustainable Development Goals as applied to career practice. Is there a network of people, other sort of career professionals that are sort of putting themselves out there that do this kind of work as well?
In our region or in the world? Or
In the world. We have a pretty global audience.
Yeah, I would like to share that Ms. Tracy Campbell, she is based in Canada, and she has done a lot of work on the UN Sustainable Development Goals. So that's a great resource. She's available on LinkedIn. Dr. Roberta Nault. She has done a lot of work. She's a great resource. And these people are like very seasoned people. Serena Hopkins is a great resource. She's based in Canada. So I would like to share my YouTube link that has a lot of interviews of seasoned professionals. And a lot of people have actually contributed, and I will be happy to share those. I will just share that career community of great people. You just have to take the initiative to start a conversation. I'm very humble that, you know, in all my interactions in my professional practice, the most joy and the most compassion I've received in my practice are the careers community. You just have to initiate. You just have to be proactive, and you will be amazed on the amount of abundance of sharing, of the amount of intellectual community that is there. You just have to knock. Take the step.
Excellent. So Raza is someone that you definitely want to follow. The primary way that I like to touch base with you is through your YouTube channel. We will put that in the show notes, but what would we look for on YouTube to follow your channel?
The easiest way to get connected is LinkedIn. I'm more active on LinkedIn now. So if you just mentioned Raza Abbas, careers and learning practitioner, bridging dialogues to unite the world. I think I'm a strong believer of communication, so you will be able to connect with me. I'll be happy to have a one-to-one conversation regarding career coaching, regarding just how to start the process. I mean, not just focusing on your business products per se, but how do we start? I'll be happy to have a conversation on that.
Very good. If I'm correct, you're also an editor of the Career Guidance and Social Justice website. Is that correct? I think I've read about you on there as well.
Thank you for sharing that. I forgot to mention that in this passion of sharing. my volunteer leadership right now, I was very privileged to serve for 6 years as a country representative for APCDA for Pakistan, and my term will be ending this year. So I will invite others to connect with APCDA. I think it's time for others to come forward. I also serve on ARACD. I'm the director for Pakistan. For IAVG, I'm the editorial board member and the national correspondent. And recently, I have joined an amazing blog, the Career Guidance and Social Justice blog, that is managed by Dr. Trisham Hooley, who is based in the UK. And that is an amazing idea of various enlightened scholars. I was very privileged and humbled to just interview Dr. David Lundstein a few days back. So I will be sharing his interview on the impact of social justice and career guidance, a very one of my most humble interviews that I have conducted over the years. So lots that are happening in the global arena, and it's always very humble to actually learn from.
Well, and we are very humbled to get to learn from you today. So thank you so much for giving us your time. I know it's very late in Pakistan right now. And just for everything that you've contributed, I think that you're an excellent example of how non-linearity and non-orthodoxy are an important component of how we do career practice. I think that we have 100-year history of being conditioned to pay attention to the doctors, right? The professors, the academics, and the reality is that much of the good change, the needed change in the world of work today is coming from people just like you who are integrating evidence with practice and having true, true impact where they do their work. So it's been a real pleasure to have Mr. Raza Abbas with us on this episode. And please subscribe, like, give feedback. And until next time, this is Brian Hutchison, your host, signing off.